Hello and welcome to our episode today of Never Ever Too Late for Love series, and we're exploring and mastering the keys to renewing our passion, recharging confidence so you can find your forever love. I'm your host, Bryn Williams, and my very special guest today is Dr. Erica Goodstone. Before we chat with Dr. Erica, I'd like to share a little bit about this series in case you're listening for the first time. Throughout these episodes, we are going to be sharing different ways to gear up for love, meaning preparing yourself to find your forever love and to develop a sense or a direction of where to begin your quest to find that one. It is our hope to reignite your belief that it's never, ever too late to find your forever love, because it's not. Okay, let's get started. I am thrilled to introduce to you Dr. Erica, and I'm going to read her short bio. So here we go. She is the author of Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, Dr. Erica Goodstone. And she's also a syndicated columnist with hundreds of articles about healing, love, and relationships published around the web. As a licensed mental health counselor and body-oriented psychotherapist with a massage therapy license, Dr. Erica helps clients to reconnect their mind and body, heart and intellect, to recover their passion and purpose in life, no matter what age. She is a diplomat of the American Association of Integrative Medicine and the American Board of Sexology, certified sex therapist, and certified in the Rubin Synergy Method of Talk and Touch. And Dr.
Rubin
created
Feld.
Her web. I'm sorry?
Corrected. Rubin Feld Synergy.
Oh, pardon me, Rubin Feld. Dr. Erica created her website and her her Blog Talk Radio show with the same name, which is Blog Talk Radio, and then the website is HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com to help baby boomers and people of all ages to be inspired to enjoy and live to their fullest potential throughout the decades. So here we go. Welcome, Dr. Erica.
I am so happy to be here. I think it is so important to talk about the fact that it's never too late for love and for health to enjoy life.
Yeah. And that's what our topic is today. We're going to learn and talk about how to live joyfully to 100 and beyond. And the other thing that I liked about you is your concept of limitless love. And that it's never, ever too late to find love because love is limitless.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what age do you consider so old that it's too late to enjoy life and love?
Well, I've been thinking about this topic for many years, and I've presented about centenarians and super centenarians. And I'm just going to mention a few people. Nola Ox is someone who at the age of 95 earned her bachelor's degree at Kansas's Fort Hays State University in 2008. And then Dr. Jacqueline Hodd, I interviewed her on my Sexual Reawakening Summit when she was age 92. And Dr. Alice Lattice, I interviewed her on both of my previous summits, Sexual Reawakening and Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me. And she was 95 at the time, and now she's 96, and still going strong and traveling and even playing tennis. And
that's wonderful.
And my aunt, who was 96, just passed away Saturday night. And then I received a delightful phone call on Sunday morning from a lady I had interviewed on my Sexual Reawakening Summit. These are people I knew through my organizations for years. And her name is Dr. Shirley Zussman. She is currently 102. And I'm interviewing her for the 50th anniversary of our organization. And she's going strong.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She was on a flight to Florida to visit her daughter. So I have many, many examples of people I know and that I've met in person that are living really healthy, long lives. And their minds are fully active.
What's their secret?
Well, it's not so much a secret. They didn't have perfect diets, but what they did have is until the very end, a real purpose. They keep contributing. They don't retire from happen to be therapists, so they haven't retired from doing therapy. They still do it. Maybe a smaller practice, maybe only, you know, a few clients, but they keep active. They keep connected mm-hmm. with colleagues, with friends, with family. I have lots of information about super centenarians. There are over 1,000 super centenarians in history. These are people that lived over 110. One in 50,000 centenarians lived to 115. And many of them have been found in blue zone areas, and I'll just say where they are. Sardinia, Italy, Okinawa, Japan, Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, and Loma Linda in California. But the people that I've met in that are centenarians are living right here in the U.S. You know, so we have people living a long time, but there has to be something going on right for you. And a lot has to do with your habits. And not just your habits when you get old, but your lifetime habits.
So what are good habits to create?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, we've seen so much of this lately on the news, and you know, there's a lot more information about it. What used to be good habits, like a healthy, balanced diet, it may not work as well now because our food has been damaged. The soil mm-hmm. has been damaged. There's these GMOs and all kinds of foods. The oils are not so good. So we have to really do our own research. I attended an event, The Truth About Cancer, a live event, and there were many holistic functional medicine doctors there really talking about what has happened to our food supply and the air and everything around us, and the electromagnetic energy coming out of computers and cell phones and all of that. So we really need to pay much more attention to the particular foods we're eating. And it's very difficult when you live in society and you just want to go out to eat and you start to mm-hmm. notice these things. So it's really, and nutrition is not everything. That's what I see missing. A lot of these functional medicine people talk so much about nutrition. And maybe they talk about exercise, but they very often leave out the emotions and the mind and what's going on with that. Dr. Daniel Amen, he's a well-known medical doctor, psychiatrist, who worked with the brain. He works with the brain, and he does SPECT scans, so he evaluates the brain. And he talks about AMPS, automatic negative thoughts. And that is something that really interferes with our health. So when we catch mm-hmm. ourselves saying and thinking negative things, I can't do this at this age. If you think you can't do it, then go online and look at that 80-year-old woman that I've seen on Facebook who's competing in bodybuilding. Beautiful.
That's right.
Body. At 80
or
years
the 95,
old.
Yeah, there was a 95-year-old woman that was going around on Facebook who was doing, I think she was doing ice skating, and it was
right.
beautiful. It was slower, but it was gorgeous.
And there's someone doing yoga and teaching yoga in their 90s. So if you think you can't do it at that age, look at someone who can. And maybe you have an injury that you can't help, you know, something that, or an illness that chronically keeps you a little less able to do things, but there may be ways you can improve your diet and your health may transform magically. I've gone to the Hippocrates Institute, which is in West Palm Beach, Florida. It's about 45 minutes away from me. It's a gift. They provide the most healthy lunch buffet of sprouts, like 18 different kinds of sprouts. And I've attended lectures there where they talk about the protein that you get from these sprouts and from vegetables. People have come to the Hippocrates Institute from around the world to heal. They've healed in stage 4 cancers and all kinds of illnesses.
just by eating very, very clean, good food.
Right. They're not even talking about the mind and the emotions. They're just doing the diet. But if you do the diet and your mind and your emotions, and you find a purpose in life, something you feel passionate about, that you love doing, and you feel like, I'm leaving my legacy, that can keep you going.
Yeah.
Loving someone,
so you need something
or something.
So you need something to keep you engaged in life, just engaged with loving life.
Yes, and
correct?
Also you need an accurate perspective about what aging really is. So there are all these stereotypical signs of aging, such as, I'm going to give you a whole list that we think has to do with aging. You get dizzy when you stand up, your body aches, your skin itches, you have flaky skin, poor muscle tone, painful swollen joints, you tire easily, you feel weak, you have poor memory, you get grouchy, maybe irritable, you feel depressed, you get set in your ways, you think it's just too late to learn anything new, and you start having a smaller and smaller world. That is not a sign of aging. That's a sign of illness or depression or not having an accurate image of what it is like to age and how gracefully you can age. So the truth about aging is that there's a gradual, very gradual decline, maybe 1% loss of functionality, and that starts around age 30. So we start declining from age 30 in all different things: height, hearing, vision, taste, smell, touch, bones, heart and circulation, lungs and breathing, your brain. Everything has this 1% decline, but then we can do things to boost it. Daniel Amen has wonderful nutritional supplements to help boost your body so you don't have to have that decline in your brain. And he's done lots of research with this. He did a Brain Warrior program. I'm just talking about him. He's just one person doing his piece to help people. And his wife talks about nutritional diet and food. But there's so many other people working with exercise. And as you age, you need to be moving your body. Even if you wake up in the morning with some aches and pains, if you get up and move around and have some kind of ritual that you follow to get you physically moving and feeling good, something like Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga, whatever you feel you can do.
The first thing I do before I have my usual cup of coffee is I put on my exercise clothes so that I work out every day. I have to move every day because I've noticed that too. You just get stiff, and then a couple of days of inactivity, you don't feel good. You need to move.
You definitely don't. I've been doing a lot of work on my computer. I'm doing these summits, videos, interviewing people. So I'm sitting at the computer and I do not feel good. I get stiff. My neck hurts. Everything starts to bother me. But I have a fabulous health club. And as soon as I can get there, I get off to the health club and I work out whatever I can do. Some aerobics, some rope stuff and chest presses and leg stuff, whatever I can do that day, some days more than others. And I always use the jacuzzi and the sauna and the steam, and I come out of there like a new person.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff makes such a difference in life. And if you don't have a health club to go to, you can do something. You can walk. You can even just move around your apartment or your home.
Yeah.
You can't go outside. Just move around.
Dance. Put on some music and dance. You need it too. It gets those endorphins going. You just feel better. Feel happier.
Music does a lot for us. It's a vibration. It stimulates your organs.
I didn't know it stimulated my organs.
Well, you don't realize that you're listening to a vibration.
Yeah.
And it gets you, and then you might sing along with it, and it gets your body. There was this wonderful Tai Chi guy, Qigong rather, teacher, Mantak Chia. I went to some of his workshops in New York City a long time ago, and he had us smiling to our organs, laughing to our organs. And I love that image of picturing your heart smiling and your uterus smiling and your liver smiling. You know, just smile to your organs instead of that tension that we do, that you tighten everything up and you're restricting the blood flow to the organs, and they need it badly. And the other piece,
I love that.
Thank you. The other piece is breathing. I do a type of body therapy, the Rubenfeld Synergy Method, the and craniosacral method. And what happens is someone's lying on the massage table, and I look at their body, and they're hardly breathing. They're kind of holding their breath. That is so common. And even when I ask someone to breathe deeply, it's very restricted. The range that they breathe might not be very much. So that alone, if you increase your breathing and you do that regularly, that can make a huge difference in your level of health.
That's good to know. So what is, I've had cranial sacrum, and I love that. That was one of the most amazing techniques I've ever had done on me. What's the Rubenfeld that I mispronounced earlier?
Thank you. Well, the problem with this method is that it was originally called Gestalt Synergy, and that was so much better as a name because people could get a sense of what might be in there. When they switched it to her name, it's confusing. So that's one of the things that I realized. But it's a combination of, she used to tell her story that she started this because she went for Alexander techniques. This is a type of body therapy where F.M. Alexander had been a Shakespearean actor and lost his voice. And he discovered that by the way he held his head and neck, he could open up his voice again. So he does that for the whole body. And that was one type of body therapy. And she used to go to one place to get those sessions because she was a conductor and had pains in her shoulders. So she would start to cry. And the Alexander Technique person, the teacher, did not know how to work with emotions. So Alana used to go all the way across town to work with Fritz Perls to get her emotions out. So she did the Gestalt therapy to deal with her emotions. And she did the Alexander Technique for her body. And then she also trained with Moshe Feldenkrais, another type of gentle body therapy, but this one is with movement. So you're moving and confusing the body. So say your shoulders are tight, I might ask you to point your finger and I might move your hip, and all of a sudden your shoulder is relaxed because you get confused and you let go of the tension. So this combination of Alexander Technique, Feldenkrais, Gestalt Therapy, and Ericksonian Hypnosis. And then in addition, whatever else I've studied. So I have trained in massage and Reiki and a lot of other body therapy techniques, some Traeger. I'm not certified in everything because there's not enough hours in the day. But this work is just so beautiful that somebody lies on the table, relaxes, they finally get to relax. I have a friend who had an alcohol addiction, and I gave her one session. She said it was the first time she felt relaxed like that without the alcohol.
Oh, wow.
But she wasn't in treatment with me, you know, and she went back, and I don't know what's happened since then. But this work is very powerful with couples, too, because you might be very mad at your partner and all kinds of stuff, and you lie on the table and get in touch with the underlying feelings, the sadness if you really have to leave this person, and you come back with a renewed sense of closeness. And then I've worked with couples where they're both in the room. One is on the table, the other assisting. And there's a beautiful intimacy that happens. So touch is such an important part of our lives. I wanted to talk about touch a little bit.
Okay.
That means all the things that touch can do, pain relief, pain management, better circulation, deeper breathing, relaxation. It elevates your moods, your sensuality, body awareness, body acceptance, all of that just from touch. And there's been a lot of research about touch. Dr. Tiffany Field, particularly at the Touch Research Institute, has studied the effects of massage, which is only one type of touch, but it has amazing results. It increases your T cell count, your immunity gets better, your anxiety is lower, your stress levels are lower. It really improves our health. But we don't talk about touch very much. And there's one gene, C. elegans. It's a gene that can only be turned on through gentle touch. So the power of touch is not just the power of grabbing and touching. It's gentle touch, that soothing kind of compassionate, loving touch. That's what helps us to heal. The way a mother touches a baby, the way you might touch an elderly person that's frail and fragile. That's the kind of touch that opens up our heart. And then there's a lot of research about the heart. The heart has 5,000 times the magnetism of our brain. So when we're coming from the heart and when we touch the heart, so much happens, not only for other people, but for ourselves. Opening up your heart helps you to heal.
So is that your love bomb? When you talk about your love bomb?
That was something that I was told that Dr. Albert Einstein wrote a letter to his daughter, and somebody else went on the internet and said that letter wasn't true, that maybe he didn't write it. But whether he wrote it or not, the essence of it was maybe we should make a bomb of love, something so powerful to destroy all the hatred around the world. And bring us back to peace and love. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Mm-hmm. And the power of love, because it's limitless.
Yeah. And how we show love, too.
Well, that's a whole other piece. How we show love.
I know.
Is that we may love someone, but we don't think that we have to say it that often. And we criticize them because we want them to be better and we want them to be everything that we want, instead of loving that person in a way that makes them feel loved. We could use some training in that, all of us.
Yeah. So what would you suggest to begin? How do we begin? We've talked about creating lifetime habits. We've talked about the eating properly and finding different ways to get our nutrition in and exercise and touch. And where would we would like our listeners to just begin? I mean, our summit is about, gearing up for love and finding love and having ways of getting yourself ready for love. And because it's not too late. We've also talked about aging. You can go on forever. What would you recommend?
Well, what I really recommend is that you sign up to take my 30-day love challenge, Love Lessons for the Soul. It starts with, are you ready for love? But I would say before you're ready to even do something like that, because it's a commitment to sign up and you really want to look at it, I would say to begin to study love. And the way you begin is look at yourself. And be honest with yourself. How have I loved? Think about how the other people respond to you. Imagine being your friend, your parent, your lover, your spouse, looking at you and responding to you. How do you make them feel? You might ask them, how do you feel? And you might be surprised at how they're uptight because you're so critical, or you always seem so perfect and you don't show your fears, so they think they have to be perfect around you or whatever. You might be really surprised that you're a lot less loving than you think you are, because most of us are not as loving as we really can be. We have our egos in the way and we have our own ideas of how things are. Like an example is giving a gift to someone. I had a friend who used to give me a gift that I didn't want. I don't want little tchotchkes around my home. I have enough stuff. I don't want it. And she would get insulted that I wasn't happy that she gave me a gift until she finally got that I don't want that gift. So it's not a gift if I don't want it.
Right.
It's something she feels good doing, but it doesn't make me feel good. It makes me feel obligated and annoyed. So she finally got that. And that's the kind of thing. So the first step is to know yourself. I have a course, Healing Through Love, which is 4 audios and 4 Q&A audios with some exercises and meditations, visualizations. And the first step is healing your relationship to yourself. So you really need to look at yourself. You know, who am I? What do I really love? What's my passion? What's been blocking my passion? What am I afraid of? And then you look at others and what do you love in them? What do you not love? What do you want in another person? What do they want? Then you look at your past. You cannot avoid looking at your past, because if you think you understand yourself, but you didn't look at the hurts you had from your family or friends or your adolescence and dating, whatever went on, you have to look at that. And the final thing is looking at your future. What do I want for my future? And there's a book, Design Your Life, or How to Design Your Life. I want to get that. I'm not sure of the name of it. Designing Your Life. A friend of mine is reading it and finding it fascinating. So we can design our lives, but first we have to begin with our own self.
Yeah, that's our first relationship. That's who you're going to be with for the rest of your life. Is you,
whether you like that person or not, so you might as well.
That's
start
right. And
you can't
divorce you. Yeah, you can't divorce yourself. So
I think people try to do. That's funny. I think people try to do that. They take drugs,
you know,
to suppress their emotions, all kinds of medications.
I agree. And there's no escape from you, because you got you.
There is.
So
this right.
I agree. I think people need to learn to trust themselves, learn to learn to trust yourself, you know, learn to see how you work, how you function in life, and, you know, what your triggers are, and decide if you want those triggers to be with you, or do you want to, you know, get rid of them, and how to do that. You know, do you ask for help? Do you do it on your own? Do you have friends? Do you have therapists? You know, because, you know, it's my belief that once we tap into our inner knowledge, we know how to take care of ourselves. You know?
Well, you said something important. You talked about trusting yourself. Well, you can't trust yourself if you're on automatic. If you haven't looked at yourself, if you haven't told the truth to yourself, if you're hiding it from yourself, that means you're also hiding it from others. So then something happens and you're embarrassed by it because you couldn't control it. But we are discovering that our brains have plasticity. It isn't just infants whose brains can grow and change. Throughout our life, our brains can grow and change. The people we spend time with affect our brains. They affect the way we respond in our brain. The limbic system gets affected. The reptilian system, the real ancient brain, all of that gets affected by our environment and the people around us. So we're not operating in a vacuum, but we can choose.
So we need to be
people.
Selective.
We can choose the people we can be with. And there's so much more ability to connect with the internet. We can connect with people who think in a way that can uplift us.
Right.
The more we read about being uplifted and read about how we can better ourselves. I don't mean just financially or business, but in terms of being a better person. The more we study this, you study love and you become loving. It starts to happen.
Yeah. And it just pulls it in. So you're surrounded with love then, you know, and love comes. Love just comes.
And well, we talked about the law of attraction. It is that you attract love when you become loving, and you become loving when you study it and it becomes important to you, when it becomes the most important thing to you. Like Neil Donald Walsh says in his first book, Conversations with God, in every moment, ask yourself, what would love do now? And what would love do now for me? So what would I do now that's the most loving thing for myself? And the most loving thing for yourself may be to help another person, because you're going to feel better and you're going to have a better relationship as time goes on. So even though you want to walk away or do something different at the moment, the most loving thing for you may be to stay and work through something.
That's very true. Or sometimes the most loving thing you can do is to walk away from that person.
Yes, no, that's true. That's true too.
Yeah. So you, and that can be very painful.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it has to be done.
So that there are decisions, but when you study this area, you start to know what is love and what isn't love, and you honor yourself more too.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Well, do you
have a
gift for people, or have we already discussed your gift that you have, your free gift?
No, the free gift is you go to my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, and there's a gift there, How to Live to 100 and Beyond.
And it's okay, really we'll have a link.
Right. It's really worth looking at that. Just look at it, and then it gives you an idea of what I can do. And you evaluate your own life, and where can I begin now? And you have to begin now, wherever you are, whatever age you are.
Yeah, you do. That's a very good point. And keep going. You know, make a commitment. I think all these things just kind of blend together. You start paying attention, whatever the reason is, maybe fear of getting older or whatever, but you start paying attention, then you start really caring more and more about you, and that kind of, from wherever you begin, in health or eating or relationships or whatever little area, financial, you start paying attention and caring, then it kind of like a ripple effect. It gets broader and broader, and you find out, you know, you become more holistically involved with you and how to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, we're not in a vacuum. So it includes everybody.
Right. And there's absolutely no shame in reaching out to someone else. Because your brain goes in circles. You know, you get caught in a certain way of thinking and you have a certain way of doing things. Very often you need an outside person. It can be a friend, it can be a therapist or a coach, someone outside of you who looks at the world differently, may have a broader perspective on that particular issue, and that can help you to transform.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, I want to end there because we could keep going. And I want to thank you very much. That was wonderful. Dr. Erica, thank you for your wisdom and sharing with us. And
thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate talking with you.
I did too. That was really fun. We talked, listeners, a little bit before and we just kept going. So we thought we better start recording because we were already talking.
Right.
So to carry on the conversation, head over to our private Facebook group for the Never Ever Too Late for Love, and Dr. Erica will be there. You can tag her, you know, and you know, make sure you click on her if you have any questions for her, and she'll answer you, and we can just keep going. And I'll be popping in, see how you're doing. But for now, just remember, it's never ever too late for love. Thank you, and thank you again, Dr. Erica.
You are most welcome.
Mm-hmm. Bye bye.